This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 65 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is April 27th, 2017. From Denver, Colorado, I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. Hey guys. Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you. Let's jump on over to Grandmastersville, California.
Hey, I like this. I like this place. Hello. Thank you. You finally learned where I lived. I feel so appreciated. So nice. How many weeks did it take? Like quite a few. Thank you. Hi, I'm excited to be here. I think we're finally going to get into this segment that we've had for the last 3 weeks on our show notes. So I'm excited to get into that. And we have some other news to talk about. So I'm ready to get into it for the week.
Nice. Me too. Well, before we do, let's jump on over to Camarillo, California with Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Camarillo, however you want to say it. It's all good.
Camarillo.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Overwatch news. There's a lot of cool promotional stuff going on. I'm really excited to be talking about this stuff. Just because it crosses into the other game that I play a lot of. So I'm really excited for this week's news.
Nice. Well, before we go into the news and everything else, we always talk about our weeks in Overwatch and gaming and just kind of get that out of the way because we end up talking about it anyway. So first, Jimmy, let's go to you first. Why not? What have you been up to this week in Overwatch? Have you been getting some good time in?
Yeah, mostly playing Quick Match and really trying to get the harder difficulties of the event done with. But it's really difficult if you don't have a coordinated group. Maybe we could find a fourth and kind of hammer them out at some point. Cause yeah, you really need to be coordinated for those higher difficulties for sure.
Yeah. It's pretty hard.
Yeah. Have either of you finished legendary?
I haven't done anything past normal, to be completely honest. I've just seen and heard other people talking about, like, you know, we have these four amazing people together and we still weren't able to finish it. And it's just like, I haven't even tried it because it just sounds frustrating.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't have the drive to like really want to yet at this point. I'm still learning too much about the game. I want to focus my time on that, not grinding out that legendary. So Rosh, what about you? What have you been up to this week?
Oh, well, I've been up to actually a lot. I think today is day 8 or day 9 of my streaming for 29 days in a row. So I've been streaming a lot and playing a lot of Overwatch. And a couple weeks ago, I made the announcement that I finally hit Grandmaster. After all of that grinding and all of this effort that I put in, I finally hit Grandmaster, but I hit it on my Smurf account, and I had yet to hit it on my main account. Well, this week, I finally hit it on my main account, so now we're GM1-2 account, so that's super fun. But I'm just relieved to know, like, okay, I got it. I don't have to wait for the rest of the season. Even if next season, like, I was already a GM, I achieved that status. We're good. Then Outlast 2 also dropped, so I've been playing a little bit of Outlast 2, and it's just been pretty nice to take a break from Overwatch and have something to stream that's funny for my stream to laugh at when I scream. But it's been a pretty good week. It's been a pretty fun week.
Good. That sounds like fun. As for me, I've been doing a lot of the same. So a lot of Overwatch, usually streaming in about 4 or 5 hours a day. But it's also basically my last week of college, I guess, is the way to say it. So I'm almost done there. I've got a bunch of like crazy things going on in May. You guys will hear about it later on as they happen. But it's just like there's just a lot of things going on, but I'm still getting probably 40 hours a week of Overwatch in and probably about 20 hours a week of Hearthstone in. So it's a lot of gaming right now, but it's been a lot of fun. So
yeah.
Well, let's just go on the news.
This week,
every time
in Overwatch.
Every time. All right, I got to move that off the soundboard. So this week we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Corral, Tommy H, and Liam O. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you like the payload and you want to support us, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. By the way, we are super close to our $200 merch store goal. So if you are a fan, you want to throw a cup of coffee a month our way, head on over and let's hang out and play games together. Jimmy, what's going on this week? You're the Heroes Master here. You're the Heroes of the Storm guy.
So if you have been on the internet like at all and you're on Blizzard Games at all, I'm sure you've seen the ads for Heroes 2.0. It's a huge push by Blizzard to promote that. We're not going to talk about that. You can go listen to my hero show if you want details on that. But basically, they announced Nexus Challenge 2.0. If you remember last year at BlizzCon, they announced the Nexus Challenge for the Oni Genji skin and some other cross-promotion stuff to kind of cross-populate the Overwatch and the Heroes community. And this time they're going to be doing it again. So if you missed out on that Oni Genji skin, you can pick it up. And there are 4 weeks of content to do. And the nice thing is you're not confined to having to do it in that week. You can save it all up till the last week to do all your games in. But basically the first week, which is right now, just play 5 games with friends in basically any of the modes. You can play against AI this week, but after that, you'll need to play against real players. But you get the Oni Genji skin, the player icon, and spray. I think the spray is new in Overwatch. I don't remember if that was a part of the promotion last time, but the big one, though, starts next week. We get an Officer D.Va skin, kind of celebrate D.Va coming to Heroes of the Storm very soon. And then the third week on May 8th, you get the Officer D.Va spray and Officer D.Va player icon. And I think this is the coolest reward. The fourth week, May 15th, you get 10 loot chests in Heroes of the Storm and 10 loot boxes in Overwatch.
Yep.
So pretty good amount of stuff just for checking out the game. Check out the Discord, BlizzPro Discord. I'm sure if you need a friend to play with, there'll be people there wanting to play through this.
You know what we should do? We should do some heroes together and bring in some patrons. Do some like AI thing.
No, I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
We're going to do that.
I have a Smurf that we can play around with.
I've never played HOTS. I logged into HOTS one time. The game started. It was against AI too. The game started and I just exited out. I just can't do that. So it's like,
you can do it.
There are bets in my stream going on getting a second chance of getting the Oni skin because I just complained so much about not getting it the first time because it all happened when I was moving apartments and moving from LA to San Diego. So it kind of just... It just skipped my mind that it was the last day and I was running out of time, even though everybody was reminding me. And I'm not going to point out any people or say any names, Shadow Vapor, but people in my stream have just been rubbing it in my face that I don't have the Oni skin. And there are bets on if I'm even going to get it the second time. So
do you play a lot of Genji on your stream or?
Yeah, I'm a Kenji main. You didn't know that? How many weeks have we been doing this podcast together, John? You had no idea.
Our Grandmaster Genji main?
Yeah.
And you're trying to carry me as Mercy?
Uh-huh, yeah. I had to make it a little more even for the other team or else it just wouldn't have been fair. But I think that will be a good idea. We should get together. Because you could do 5, right? It's 5 people or is it 4? 5. Yeah, so I think that would be fun. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
Bring some patrons, so... Stay tuned for that. We'll talk about it. We'll set aside maybe like 2 or 3 nights, maybe two nights to do it.
the kind of big thing that tied it all together and started this whole thing was the cinematic. I'm hoping you both saw that for Heroes 2.0.
Yes,
I did. It was really cool and a cool mix of the worlds of Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really cool. It was their way of revealing the new hero coming to Heroes of the Storm, which is D.Va. And it's really interesting because I know this is hero stuff, but it's cross-pollinating, so I guess we got to talk about this.
Yeah, for sure.
But they didn't really talk about her toolkit, how it would translate to heroes, but they hinted that it would. In the video that they had shown some of her toolkit there, and that made us speculate, oh my gosh, can she carry heroes? Because in part of the cinematic, Genji jumps on her back and they're just like flying around. Okay, is that going to be coming to heroes? But we'll see. But what do you guys think of this Officer D.Va skin?
I think it's pretty cool. Yeah, I think it's a little cute. And with the whole like selfie play of the game that they added to D.Va, I think that it goes really cute. I think it's cute. I think it's a cute skin.
Yeah, cute is the word that I would use too. It's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know where it fits in lore wise. Somebody posted and asked if Diablo in Overwatch world and all that stuff was canon, and Jeff Kaplan responded in three words: "It's not canon." So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of obvious,
right? So it was pretty funny, but I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. We'll have to see. I don't play a lot of D.Va right now. But like, skins are cool. Just legendary skins. Whenever we get those new legendary skins, they do such a good job. Now we do have some.
Blizzard couldn't do something without a little bit of controversy, though. Something nice,
right? So you want to say?
I guess we can dig into that too as well, because there were a bunch of console players complaining, oh, I don't have a computer, my computer can't run Heroes, how do I get these skins? Blizzard did come out and respond that both Oni skin and the Officer D.Va skin will be coming in loot chests, or loot boxes, sorry. Mm-hmm. Why do they name them differently? Blizzard, come on. They will come in loot boxes eventually.
Sure.
Which, I mean, that would be for both PC and console, yeah? Loot boxes, yes. The Oni skin, and the D.Va skin. Okay, so yeah, maybe I just won't even like worry about playing console. I'll just wait to get it in the loot boxes. I'll have to reinstall HOT.
Then you miss it on 10 more. Have on your number screen there to
troll numbers. Yeah. That is very, very true, because I'm most interested in week 4. It's funny that you said that. I'm most interested in week 4 to get the 10 loot boxes, not to open them, just to add 10 to the account of unopened loot boxes on my screen. So that's actually the week that I'm looking forward to the most.
Nice. Well, that's going on. You're going to get that. Nice. Cool. Easy. We're already more than halfway through the news. Nice. So next up, there was a thread, I think it was on the official Blizzard forums, about when are we going to see new maps, and is two maps a year enough? And Jeff responded and says, we currently have 3 maps in development, all past the initial playtesting phase, that are standard maps. So maps you'll see in quick play and competitive. While something could always change, all 3 of those are looking likely for a release this year. We also have 3 non-standard maps in development. These won't go into quick player comps. So, Eco Point Antarctica would be one of those, right? And like other stuff that we see for other events, like Junkenstein's
Overwatch
Revenge. King's Row.
It is, but I think they had to make some changes there. And obviously, I don't know if you consider putting in the bots and where they spawn part of the map development or not.
Yeah. I wonder if he's including something like a rehash of a current map as a current like non-quick play map, but we'll have to see. And then he also says, we also have a few other experiments going on. Hopefully this will satisfy some of what you're looking for. We want to play on these maps as badly as you guys do. We'll work as fast as we can. So first, let's ask the big question. How many maps a year is the right amount to add? Do you guys have a number in your head?
I'm trying to think about how much I liked the two maps last year, and I don't think that it should be many more than two. Maybe three is probably a good number, but even at two, I think that I'm personally fine, because it just, when you introduce a map, you introduce a ton of different advantage points to all kinds of different characters, and tons of new paths that people have to learn competitively, and tons of new tricks that you can do to, and ledges you fly over as Farah. And I think that it does take a little while. It takes a few months to really familiarize yourself with all of the different angles and ways you could play that map. So I think adding maybe much more than three probably isn't such a good idea. I think I'm okay with two or three.
What do you think, Jimmy?
I'm almost wondering if I would like maybe a map every season. Maybe introduce at the beginning of the season, which, you know, that's a lot of coordination that has happened on the team. But like, I think that would be really cool to see that. And I'm actually wondering if they're starting to run into the same problem that Heroes is running into, where there's just so many maps and it makes it really kind of bogged down a bit for competitive. And I wonder if there might be a rotation. I mean, this might be something we see in Overwatch League, where there's only a certain set of maps that get used for competitive. And I kind of would like to see that here, but I don't know what amount of maps that kind of needs to happen.
Right.
How many do we have right now? I'm like trying to
think. We have like 12 now, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, right? It's all about like, what is the, where does the place where it tells me all the maps? Maps, there it is. Boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We're up to 14 now.
I was gonna say 14. I thought it was 12 before Icon Wild and Oasis, so 14 did sound right, but I wasn't sure.
So 14 maps now. And I think it helps a little bit. Like, Heroes has a thing where it's like the objective is kind of all the same, right? So in the sense of like, you're destroying a core.
Yeah.
Whether you exactly. do that through other objectives or directly attacking the court. Rosh is asleep. Hey, over here. I'm kidding.
Asleep. I was legitimately listening.
Well, hey, now that Hanamura is in Heroes, you can push the payload in Heroes to win the game.
Or not push the payload.
Well, you have Lucio in Heroes, so of course you push the payload. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
But like, it helps a little bit, right? So like, even then, let's say, you know, I'm guessing we're going to be getting an assaults and escort maps next. Like, that would just be my guess based on the other ones have four. Those only have three. But, you know, I could see them having like getting to like six per game type before they start removing, you know, one or two per and start rotating. But rotating is going to be inevitable, right? So,
yeah, I mean, at some point when the game has been released for so long, it's going to be impossible to have every single map in rotation. And it's just going to be insane. You're going to go hours and days without seeing a single map because of that RNG to which map you're going to play on. So I think that eventually, I don't think that people in chat are asking, do you think that map eliminations will be something that comes up? And I don't think so. I know that you can choose your maps on other games. And I can't foresee Blizzard doing that with Overwatch. Maybe years and years down the line, but I don't think that we're even close to that point where there needs to be a map elimination. And I don't think that's a concept Blizzard has ever hinted at saying. So I don't foresee that in the near future.
Cool. I think I would agree with that. Although I still to this day, I love the ability to vote for maps in like Halo 2 back in the day. You just vote for the one you want, the one that got the most votes won. But there are obvious downsides to that. Your favorite, you know, your favorite game type might never get picked because you like playing hybrid maps and nobody else does.
Yep.
And so, or 2CP maps, I guess, is the more accurate thing right now. So yeah, I get that. So boom, there it is. We got new maps coming. We think about three sounds about right. Honestly, I like two and a half. Like yeah. two to three per. Like yeah. three guaranteed every year feels like, honestly, a lot.
A lot. Yeah, I agree.
Especially when you consider the new heroes that are being introduced throughout the year.
And all the nerfs and the buffs, constantly changing metas.
And then all the events yeah. on top mm-hmm. of that. Like, that's a lot of content.
And honestly, Oasis, I don't know about you guys, but to me, Oasis still feels like a new map. It still feels super fresh, like it was just released. Anytime I get Oasis, I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
like,
I'm excited to play
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm still like. Super. And I've played it a lot, and it's still super new to me. So I don't think much more than three is needed. I think two to three is a perfect amount. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is that we are almost, I mean, we're over a third of the way through 2017, and we're going to be getting three maps by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So either
Which
we're getting one.
We probably will get one soon.
Really soon, or they're going yeah. to like release two. And then we get one announced at BlizzCon, and they do it at the very end of like December or something like that.
Yeah, maybe right? something like that. Yeah,
or
you're
the
right.
Other way around
kind of,
one.
I'm
and two.
Kind of scared
yeah,
now.
So it's like, I'm fine with three. Give me one in January.
Yeah.
Give me
one in June, one in October.
Yeah,
but that's actually kind of scary. You're right, because he did say that. So maybe he's not saying that they'll be released. Wait, did he say that in the post? Did he say that it would be released this year, the three maps? Or did he just say that they had three in development?
They said that they're on pace to be, it's... all three of those are looking likely for a release this year.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of scary. That's actually kind of scary because you're right. It's almost the... that's kind of... We'll see. I think we'll be getting one soon.
I think we have to. Sounds
yeah.
about right. But I'm surprised
yeah,
he wasn't
It's just interesting kind of talking about this. I realized that the Overwatch team kind of ebbs and flows as far as like news. Like, it's been really quiet lately. As far as like upcoming content, I mean, I guess that's because Overwatch Rising just came out. But it's interesting how it's like it's really quiet, and then all of a sudden they're like,
"Oh,
there's a bunch of new stuff."
yeah, it's interesting. You know what? While we're talking about new maps, we did also get one other thing from Jeff this week, and that was that a recommendation. Basically, someone wanted. To play the seasonal events in the custom game browser. And Jeff kind of chimes in with a couple of things and says, first, we had two stretch goals for Uprising. One is we wanted to allow all heroes to play the event. It might not seem hard, but there was a lot of edge case bug fixes to handle. The other goal was to put Uprising into custom game during the event. There were enough challenges technically that with doing this that we ended up not achieving this goal. We might someday make seasonal events available when the events are not running, but for now, it's not a priority due to the technical challenge. We also do like keeping the events rare and special. I know people hate when I say that. Good old Jeff. So self-aware.
So yeah, I'm always aware of that.
So it sounds like they want to put event maps in the custom game browser during the time of the event, but they yeah. don't really want to, at least yet, put event maps in the custom game browser for whenever you want to play. I kind of get that. There are some things like Lucio Ball where it's like
when it's just such a different dynamic than the rest of the game, it makes sense to have it
yeah,
in there.
It's
people
not like
love
you can get your, you know, it's like yeah. I can get my Junkenstein's Revenge fix in any mm-hmm. other, you know,
it's
like
actually
shooter game.
A promo for Rocket League. So people go and buy Rocket League after.
Yeah, it's true. I played after that. I actually played a bit more Rocket League. No lie. So I think this is cool and I appreciate them like trying to do it. So yeah. All right, let's jump into esports here. I think I'm up this week. Huh? Damn it. Overwatch esports. All right, so we're gonna do that. So this week in Overwatch esports, we do have the Overwatch World Cup teams announced, and I believe I actually saw something from Internet Hulk on the thing today for voting for Overwatch World Cup. So I want to actually see if that's, is that up yet? Yeah, phase two voting did start, just started today. So you can see the candidates for the regional committee will be selecting players to form the team. So that's what is going on now. I'm just going to read this because this literally came live right before the show. So phase two in voting, the top 32 regions have been selected based on the average skill of the top 100 players. Now players and viewers vote on their region's representatives to form each region's competition committee, which is responsible for selecting and recommending to Blizzard the strongest teams for that region. The national teams that advance to the group stage and finals of the tournament will also be accompanied by the members of their competition committee, who will provide lodging and transportation to those events by Blizzard. Each user from that region gets 3 votes. You can learn more about each committee member below. And I have to log in. Password Crusher 99.
One thing that I really liked about how they're doing the Overwatch Cup, the Overwatch World Cup this year, is that last year is basically a popularity vote about who to get in, which it's still that way. You still have to vote for who you want. But what they added this year, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they didn't have this committee that they had last year, where the committee this year can actually practice with the people who are voted into the teams and recommend if there's good synergy and if the skill levels mesh together well with the team. And they give their opinion on who meshes well with the team and who, you know, might not. And so they give their opinion and they can move forward on if they want to keep that person in the team or if they want to roll them out and bring in someone new. And that's different. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, that's different than what they did last year, because it's basically last year, whoever got voted in, that was it. Doesn't matter if all 6 people hate each other. That was it, wasn't it?
I think it was either 4 or 5 were voted in by popularity.
Right. And then they got
chosen. So like Canada, yeah, right, got chosen for Team Canada. Right. How do you feel, Jimmy?
no comment.
Because that vote probably wouldn't have happened. So there was that selection, but I think it was either 4 or 5 of them. And then the team captain got to choose. I think it was just the 6th.
Yeah, so that way, I think that's how it is. So yeah, can I get at least like
one
more
other good person on this team, please?
I do like how they were able to change it. They were looked at how they did it last year. They were able to make improvements to change things to make it better for the viewers and who was on the team and to create better teams and stuff like that. So I was impressed with that. That was pretty cool. And it makes me more excited to watch the Overwatch Cup this year.
Yeah, totally. I'm excited for it too. We don't have any more information about when those different tournaments are going to be happening, but I'm really excited for like the regional tournaments and then meeting at BlizzCon. It's going to be a lot of fun. Last thing I wanted to hit on, besides the fact that the Overwatch Rumble was awesome this week, is user Waro on Reddit put together a mega thread for the April player transfer and signings mega thread. And there are about 20 new free agents, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people moved to benches, about 17 player pickups and transfers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 signings, and then another like 6 trials. So literally about 100 different moves this month alone. By the way, congratulations to Evil Geniuses picking up East Wind after they looked awesome. I forget what tournament that was, but they looked really good.
It was the Athena Cup Open League, number 6. Wow. They swiped the floor on that thing and didn't drop a game at all. There weren't really recognizable names in the other teams, but I mean, still winning an online tournament with 16 people, 16 other teams there is a pretty good achievement.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like that was pretty cool. Didn't they play somewhere else as well? I could have swore they did, because this is from Anyways, we'll figure probably, that out. I thought it was like the monthly melee or something. They came in last minute and they beat NRG, right? Mm-hmm. Or was that in the Athena Open Cup League?
I don't know. I don't think I've heard them in the monthly melee. I don't remember the name. Maybe though. while you're looking for that, okay, though,
thank you.
Trying to scour for that on Google. This weekly list is actually really nice. If you guys haven't checked it out, I'm sure Jimmy or John can probably link it in chat. But it's actually really, really nice if you try to keep up on esports on a weekly basis and who's moving between team and team, because this guy did a really amazing job at making it incredibly organized, incredibly easy to read. And like John said, there were a lot of changes just in this past month alone. And it's really nice to see all of those changes, to know who's now moved to an inactive spot on a mm-hmm. roster, who's changed rosters, which team was picked up by another team. So maybe you were following Hammers Esports and then all of a sudden they're LG Evil and you didn't pick up that news bit a few weeks ago. This website has it all super organized in one thread post, and you would have known that. So I was reading the comments on the Reddit thread, and the guy who made the post actually said that he was planning on updating it monthly and making a post like this every month. So it's just really, really nice for anyone out there who tries to pay attention to all of this. Right now, before this list, it didn't really seem like there was any other organized way or efficient way to see any of this news other than being subscribed to every single, like all of the yeah. teams, all of the news articles, all of the websites that post on Overwatch esports news. But now it's a lot easier, so I'm super excited. I hope that this gets pinned and stickied and favorited and it just blows up, because it's just an amazing article to use for reference.
I went back, by the way, and I'm not crazy. They were in the monthly melee for April and they 2-0'd NRG, and then they 2-0'd Selfless, and then lost to Immortals in the playoffs in the semifinals. 2-0. Or not Immortals, mm-hmm. Rogue.
Okay, I was going to say, what? Yeah.
So, they had an incredible showing, beating, you know, NRG, sure, but Selfless has been looking really
good.
They've
been really good, yeah.
You know, and outside of, I think that they were, actually, I'm going to double check this, but outside of, yeah, they were the only team to take maps off of Rogue, and they lost in the Selfless Gaming, lost 3-2. So they're no slouch. The fact that they 2-0'd them, you know, was surprising. Yeah. They were able to adjust, but still pretty insane of, you know, kind of how that looked. So yeah.
I find it really interesting, though, that this is the way that Evil Geniuses is getting into Overwatch League. I mean, if I could talk a whole lot inside baseball about exactly what happened with Evil Geniuses, their entire infrastructure changed due to the Twitch deal and Twitch spinning them off to be independent. So they have completely new owners now. But generally in the past, Evil Geniuses has gone after like the absolute top talent, kind of like how the Yankees do in baseball. They just go for the best talent. They don't care how much it costs. They just get it so that they can win. This is EG kind of scouting a smaller team, I feel like. It's a bit different. And I'm really interested to see how it plays out. I mean, just the name Evil Geniuses being involved in Overwatch lends a lot of weight to it. So I'm ecstatic that they are involved in this now.
Yeah, they're kind of pulling like a Hammers Esports to Luminosity Gaming kind of thing. Yeah,
that's exactly when he was explaining it. I was like, exactly like that, where teams are, you know, really scouting. They seem to really be watching these lower teams, which is good. It makes me excited for the future of Overwatch that these teams are still interested in looking at these, you know, lesser known teams that maybe don't have as much publicity, to looking at picking up these teams so that they can be fighting for that spot in the league. So it makes me excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. All right. You guys ready for some strategy stuff? We haven't done this in a while, so this is going to be fun. Let's do it.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
All right. This week on The Payload, we wanted to discuss finding the right character. Overwatch is a game that requires switching and knowing multiple heroes. However, for most of us, we find a character we like to call home. Rosh has Mercy, John has Zarya, Jimmy has Lucio, I think. And some of us haven't found that character or playstyle, and sometimes it can inhibit your ability to enjoy the game and find heroes that complement your playstyle. This week, we want to discuss more in depth about how we found our home characters and how you can find yours. Like that? I wrote that. I wrote that myself.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. You didn't have to say that, but you can stay on the show. So,
yes.
Yeah. So this has always been something, you know, we hear it all the time where it's like, I really like this character, but I get picked on because it's not meta. And, you know, there's different ways that you can, you know, circumvent that, go get around that, find other heroes that are similar playing, and finding that hero for yours.
Unless you're in Masters, don't.
It's don't not even worry. Masters. Unless you're like 4,400 and above, like top 500. Seriously, I someone said it on our show. I can't remember who it was. He makes the YouTube. I cannot
Skyline.
Remember his name.
Skyline.
Yes, Skyline said it, and I hated him for saying this, but he was true. You can main Bastion up until like the top 0.1% of the game. So you're gonna get, you know, sometimes you're gonna get talked down towards, or maybe yelled at, or you're gonna feel like you shouldn't be playing it. But seriously, guys, you could. I'm going to hate myself for saying this because I'm just going to see a lot of Junkrats now, but you can play Junkrat up to top 500. It really does not affect it that much. So don't.
If you can play Junkrat well and coordinate with your team.
Yeah, of course. Have to play Junkrat well. You have to, you know, that has to be your hero that you have put in your time to. You can't just pick Junkrat and make it work. You've got to really invest time and effort into it. But it is possible. Do not fret. You can do it.
Unless you're a Widow main. Then, sorry.
Sure.
Just kidding. Anyways, let's talk about how we kind of found our home heroes, or that hero that we just really just enjoyed playing. It's like, yes, win or lose, doesn't matter. I had so much fun playing this character. It really gels with my play style. Rosh, I'm really curious with you first, because you're like a Mercy main. Yeah. You've put hundreds of hours on Mercy. I'm like, even on Zarya, sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm getting kind of bored. I want to do something different. I want to play a different role. And you just seem to be trucking along. How did that happen?
I really don't know how. There is a quote that in my stream for Mubot that I don't remember which number it is, but it's me saying, wow, I'm actually kind of bored of Mercy right now. And it just blew everyone's heads because I seriously have like 500 hours between all of my accounts on Mercy, and people just don't understand how I put in that much time. Essentially, before I played Overwatch, I played World of Warcraft. And on that, that's when I started PvPing, and I got introduced to the competitive play and this whole competitive side with Elo and points and a skill system and all of that. And I played a Warlock, so I was a DPS character. That transferred over into me playing a game called Star Wars: The Old Republic, in which I picked a Sork, which was the closest to a Warlock.
That was a fun game. Couple weeks, by the way, right?
We're gonna have to talk after the show because I played.
Oh, Sword did you? I played it for a long time, admittedly. But when the game, so I picked the Sork because that was as close to a Warlock, and my goal is to, you know, keep DPSing. Right, I'm not a support. I don't want to fit into that stigma of being a female support and, you know, me healing the DPSs. I really liked being a DPS character. Unfortunately, BioWare, the creator, they're the ones that ran Star Wars, The Old Republic. They hadn't developed the game as well as Blizzard has. So the targeting on Star Wars was really, really bad when the game first released. So I switched to healing because the friendly targeting was a lot easier, and I started healing. So that's where I kind of got, you know, the beginning of filling the stereotype of being a girl support in healing. When Overwatch then released, I was so happy to get away from this dead game of Star Wars: The Old Republic that I started playing Overwatch immediately. And I said, no, this is enough. I'm not doing it. I'm not healing. Liz, you're not healing. You're not doing this. I'm going to DPS. I'm going to be the star. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to carry my games. Well, it turns out, you guys, this is just a little tip for you guys out there listening. If you have not played a shooter game or a first-person shooter or any kind of game that you have to aim, you're probably not going to do that well when you all of a sudden start, which is exactly what happened to me. I couldn't aim for anything. I'd never played Halo or any kind of game that you had to aim. So unfortunately, my DPS kind of slacked. I had seen about 10 minutes of gameplay of someone playing Overwatch, and they were playing Mercy. So when I switched to support, Mercy was the first one I grabbed because I was kind of familiar with her abilities and stuff. So I grabbed it. I hooked onto it. I became hooked. It's just when people would thank me for heals, I just liked it, even though I was a female gamer. And I get that. I do get the BM. It happens. So it just I locked onto it. I loved it. And I honestly don't know how I haven't gotten bored of it. I think it's because I'm always trying to figure out how to improve on my gameplay. I'm nowhere near the ceiling of my skill cap. So I just try and always focus on what I can learn to improve. And then that makes me, when I do games that I do improve on and I can tell that I've taken a step back to look at my mistakes and how I can improve that, I think that's what keeps my passion to play the same character going. So I think that's where it all comes from.
Cool. I actually have never heard that story before. So glad we got to hear it. All right, Jimmy. As a female support main with Lucio, oh, apparently, according to Rosh, fulfilling the stereotype. Just kidding. So are you, consider, because I know you hop around more, but you still consider Lucio like home?
Is that a Lucio joke? He hops around more?
Yes, he does hop around more. but yeah, I feel like I have the most fun when I play Lucio and have the most impact on the games that I'm playing. I'm not particularly great at FPSs, and so I kind of immediately shifted towards that support role when the game first really kind of rolled out, and that's what I've been trying to really improve on, and that and the tank role as well, because tank is not nearly as intensive as DPS. But yeah, you'll see me float around. And the thing is also, when I play competitive, I'm very willing to role swap as needed around the team. I don't know if that's a good thing, but
that's like question of the year. Yeah. Should I swap? Should I fill? Should I stay on my main? Seriously, if there could be an answer to that, that'd be great. Yeah. Please let us know. Email.
Come on, Skyline. There's your next video.
Yeah, like that's question of the year. So don't, it's not just you, it's in everything. It's an everybody thing.
I think it also kind of came from Heroes was what I was playing and still playing before Overwatch, and support was where I had the most success.
Yeah.
Just sitting on the back lines, healing people, helping engage, disengage, etc. And Lucio kind of does that. And I like electronic music, so I was like, this fits perfectly.
Nice.
I don't have to have any music on. I can just listen to that song over and over.
Yeah. Man, interesting. Okay. For me, I consider myself a Zarya main. I've got about 100 hours on her now, which is not too bad because it's only been about 3 months, not even 2 months since I've been playing really Zarya, intensely. Yeah. I was when, no joke, I think it was three months ago on PC, I was level 51. Or something like that.
And now because you played console a lot beforehand. So it's not like
console, and I was a soldier, and I'm a soldier main on console because it's exactly like Halo. So it was pretty easy for me to do that and carry, and it was a lot of fun too. For PC though, I'm like, I know I'm going to have a huge learning curve because I played WoW, I guess, for the most part, and Hearthstone, which are both not very mechanically intensive games, at least on the mouse, which is what an FPS is, right? But I'm like, I want to eventually be, you know, a heavy DPS character. And so I'm like, I don't like Rhyme because it doesn't often, a lot of times his impacts aren't recognized. And it's just not, like, I could do well at it, but a lot of the games, it felt like it was just standing there with a rectangle. You know, but I'm like, what about Zarya? I have to track a lot with Zarya, so that's going to help me with that kind of mouse piece. But a lot of the gameplay comes from those clutch bubbles and, you know, strong graviton surges. So I can work on my tracking, which will eventually, you know, transfer over to something like Soldier, which I've been playing a lot more of. But at the same time, I can still be impactful. I can still have almost, you know, irreplaceable alt, you could argue. And, you know, I could learn more about positioning and strategy and when to bubble and when not to, and learn a lot of the strategy of that. So that's why I went, you know, to Zarya, and I've really enjoyed it. And I've gotten a lot of compliments on the stream of like, I've been watching you for the last, you know, month and a half, 2 months on your stream. And it's a night and day difference from how you're playing then to how you're playing now on all your characters. And I think that if I would have tried to like go to a DPS character right away and force myself through it, or try to go like for my feeling too passive, in, you know, some sort of role like a Reinhardt, I don't think I would have learned as quickly as I have been. Still a lot of learning to go. And usually it's like, hey, John, your awareness is really good. Your mechanics could be better kind of thing. And I was like, fair. It's fine. I've only been doing this for a few months, but like, yeah. So it's been kind of, that's been my journey as well. And I guess kind of how I would break it down based on all three of our stories, like when you're thinking, okay, what's my role going to be? Start with, what do you like in other games? Everybody here went off of what they played in other games and finding something that was close to that. Once you've chosen a role, if you're newer to the game or to like FPSs, I recommend to choose one that's a bit easier to learn. On offense, like Soldier 76 is probably the easiest offensive character, I would say, because he's just got such like a strong toolkit for him to be able to heal himself. So positioning isn't that important right away. Although it will be as you climb. Tank, Reinhardt is one of those where it's like, even a Reinhardt standing still with a shield is at least contributing. And they're not going to say, oh, you didn't stand there and shield enough, right? And eventually you can, you know, go there and learn when to be aggressive, when to hold on to your ult, when you should be, you know, swinging your hammer away, and when you should, even though you have someone right in front of you, when you should be standing still and letting your team do the work while you protect them. Healing, Lucio and Mercy. Mercy's easy mode. Oh, you despise me for this. Thank you. Yeah.
I was waiting for you to read that little note in there.
Fair enough. But, well, like in healing, right? So, you know, Lucio is, honestly, I have a whole new respect for Lucio and Mercy because it's all positioning. And yeah, if you watch Grego play Lucio, the new Lucio, have you seen him playing the new Lucio?
You can go crazy on the new Lucio. Sick.
He's like, I'm fragging right now.
I'm still learning the new Lucio because it's total change.
You completely play from playing defensively in the back, kind of skating around, to now you can be up in someone's face, taking out the back line, booping people off. It's intense, so it definitely did change the way, but I would still rank him up there as one of the easier heroes to play.
It's one of those, like, and I would say Mercy is kind of one of those two that are, like, the easiest to learn, but the most difficult to master. Is that okay for me to say that?
I could see that. It's easy, but it has a high skill cap. Just because it's easy doesn't mean you can't be really freaking nutty at the character, so right. I would agree.
Totally. And this is something I've been playing with Jocelyn Moffitt from The Angry Chicken on Thursdays. We've been playing. She wants to main Mercy. I watch Rosh's stream a lot. So I'm like, when I watch Rosh, she never walks. She left shifts to everybody. Like, she, you know, she's always around the corner.
It's like a 2 second cooldown.
It's a super low cooldown.
Yeah. You know, and like,
because it's supposed to be used all the time.
Like, she's always holding, you know, she's always just like super hard and to kind of, you know, grab onto. And because Jocelyn's like, I feel like I'm getting picked off, and I feel like I'm like, well, I don't know a lot about Mercy, but I've watched enough of Rosh to know, like, hey, do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even Lucio, right? Lucio's kind of the same way, where it's, you know, the best Lucio's, it's obvious when you have a good Lucio. It's not obvious when you have a bad one for the most part. I would say all this applies to like gold, platinum. Once you're above there, you have to have that hero that you can just perform at. And you know that's that next leg. So that's it. And then, you know, you've got your turret heroes too, but be careful.
Teammates will yell at you if you use them all the time. So just build up that wall to prepare yourself when you go in playing those.
So that's kind of how we got there for like trying our heroes. And you might be like, oh, I loved playing, you know, assault rifles in Call of Duty. So I'm going to play soldier. You might hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a thing. You might be like, oh, I really like what Jimmy said about Lucio. I want to try Lucio. And you might hate it. That's fine. Switch around. But once you find your hero, like, do that. You know, play that hero, right? So what about learning? So, Rosh, after you're like, all right, Mercy. I like Mercy. This is fun. Like, what are some tips for learning the ins and outs of that hero?
One of my biggest tips that I always say is, don't even wait until the end of the match to look back. You don't have to record your matches to go back and watch the matches. You don't necessarily have to take notes on every single match you do. What I tend to do is when I die in the game, you have, I think it's 8 seconds before you spawn. Why did I die? Where was I standing? Was it my positioning? Should I have shifted to this person? Should I have been more aware of what was going on? Was I maybe not listening to what was going on? Why did I die, and what can I do to not die in that situation again? And over the hours and hours of you playing this character, you're going to start getting to the point where, oh, I remember I did that at one point. I should play more passively this time, and then you won't die. And you'll eventually start learning from those mistakes that you've previously done if you make an attempt to try and do that. And it is hard. It's hard when you're dying in a match to get sidetracked and maybe not think about, okay, what did I do wrong? Because you're focusing on what the rest of your team is doing, or you're just super frustrated. You throw your hands in the air and you walk away from, or you look away from the screen. But if you try and you put in the effort to try and do it every single time you do, or every single time you die, it'll become a habit to just analyze what happened in your mind, and you'll be able to do it in 2 or 3 seconds. And then do whatever, like, if you want to get frustrated and throw your hands in the air, get frustrated and throw your hands in the air. If you want to look at what your team's doing, look at what your team's doing. You'll start doing that passively in the back of your mind. And I found that that really, really helps. If I go back and watch footage from when I first started playing Mercy, it's a completely different world now. And that's the biggest thing that I've utilized to do and to improve.
Cool. Anything you would add to kind of that learning process, especially when you're kind of newer at a hero, you're still trying to get comfortable in that role, Jimmy?
I think other things you can do is also watch other people stream and see what they're doing differently than you. That can really help you, I think, versus just trying to learn from your own gameplay. You can totally see what someone else who's better than you doing.
Yeah.
Versus that, and I'm gonna have to take Rosh's tip because I'm really not good about that, and I need to.
It's hard at really, first. Like, it really is so hard. It's hard at first. I'm telling you, if you like go home, if you tonight after you watch the podcast or tomorrow when we upload it, if you go and you try and do it, guys, it's going to be hard. But I'm telling you, when you're forming habits or breaking old habits, are you smiling?
Your
I couldn't
dog.
Tell you you're smiling. That's
your
what
dog.
I thought. She's just going crazy in the background right now. But it's going to be hard. Don't be discouraged. Trust me. Just keep doing it. It's like every time you notice that you're not doing that, tell yourself to do it again and stick with it and give it a few hours and you will get used to doing it. And I'm telling you, it helps so much.
Totally. Let's talk about mastering for a second. So you picked a hero you really liked, you learned it, and you stuck with it, which, by the way, if you pick a hero you think you like and you don't like, and I recommend you need at least like 20, I would say, to 30 hours on a hero before you could probably definitively say, I like this play style and I understand its advantages and disadvantages enough to know if I'm going to be able to be successful with it, with how I play right now. But if it ends up, you know, being like, ooh, I thought I was going to like soldier and I didn't change. Just change. It's okay. It happens. And a lot of the stuff that you learned from playing that character will still transfer to the next one. But let's talk about mastering that hero for a second. So you've played it, you like it, and now it's like, okay, how do I know that I've mastered a hero? Rosh, is it, what is it? Is it like GM? Is it a certain win rate that someone should choose for? Is it, you know, getting Harry Hook to say, hey, good job. Good job, Rosh.
I mean, yeah, that definitely helps.
You're a master soldier now.
Yeah, when you have a professional player come and pat you on the back, that definitely helps. I think it's actually a lot more trickier of a question for people who don't broadcast themselves playing or public have a Twitter and they're constantly posting how they're improving. I think that is a lot harder of a question to answer. How do you know you're mastering it? I think a lot of it comes with your confidence in your play if you're not broadcasting. Because if you are, you can have people who are there like, oh, wow, I've been watching you over the last couple months. You've gotten so much better. That's completely different. If you yourself are just gaming at home and you aren't broadcasting, I think a lot of it is your own mentality. How do you really like go into the match, watch how you're playing, and then compare it to how you used to play that character? Did you maybe not get Roadhog hooked in a certain situation? Were you able to outplay the Roadhog's hook mechanic? And maybe 3 months ago, if you think back, you wouldn't have done that. You would have just blindly run in and not have even thought about his hook cooldown. At that point, you know that you're mastering this character. You're getting it. You know when to use your Helix rockets. When I started playing Soldier, I would just blindly shoot. I know I played DP. Ugh, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to get people time in chat. Yeah, if you want to get a challenge, you're going to say something, right? You know it. But when I very first started playing Soldier, I would just Helix rocket off of cooldown. I would just throw Helix rockets out there. But now I'm nowhere near mastering Soldier, but this is for the example of, I now know, you know, Helix at their feet. You know, you want a Helix, like, if they're about to come around a corner, you become confident with your plays and as the character, and as you master the cooldowns and what to do, you start finding yourself outplaying and outmaneuvering the other players. And I think that's a really, really good indication that you know the capabilities of your character and you can implement them well enough that you can start thinking about how to outplay other people. So I think that's a really good sign.
Cool. I think you nailed it there. So I don't think we need to elaborate.
Yeah.
Let's talk about moving on, right? So at some point you're going to feel like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready for my next hero challenge in Overwatch. Jimmy, like, how do you assess when you're at that point? And what do you think are some good recommendations for, like, where to go next?
Man, geez, it's a tough one. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues you can go. Like, I mean, I already talked about watching other people stream after you feel like you've self-taught yourself to be as best as the best as you can be at that hero. But getting feedback from other people, like Rosh was saying, is super key. But yeah, looking for compatible heroes. I mean, we've talked about this a lot in the past. If you're solo queuing a lot, you can just talk to people and be like, hey, I main Zarya. Do you want to do Pharah or Soldier or something that really coordinates well with those heroics? But when you have those characters mastered, quote unquote, I don't think you can really truly master a competitive game like this, but I mean, it's when you're worrying more about how the team composition works and how the team moves and reacts to things versus your play, and you feel like your play is just kind of automatic. Like Rosh was saying, when you just automatically analyze at the death screen what went wrong. It's just one of those things that you just practice over and over and over. I think if you feel like you're really strong in that role, just move on to the next hero.
Yeah.
And start learning that one. Because the meta does shift. I know I mentioned the meta doesn't necessarily matter. Or explain.
Rosh didn't get to play Mercy for like 5 months because she was out of meta.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I still played Mercy, but it was not enjoyable. I was not enjoying myself. It was not fun. I think, and it's, I should take my own advice because I have like 500 hours on Mercy. Like, you would think that I would move on to another character to master, you know? Like, you would
You're
think
great,
so,
Lucio.
But. I could improve further. My biggest thing and my biggest tip for when you've mastered, or quote unquote mastered, when you feel like you have efficiently gone well enough at a character that you were ready to look to your next character. When you do so, kind of compare your character to the other DPS. Say you're a Zenyatta main and you have enough hours in Zenyatta and you want to look at DPSing so that if you ever come into the situation where there are three support mains, you can play a DPS. Look at the DPS that are probably most similar to Zenyatta. Zenyatta's a projectile. He's not a hit scan. So maybe look at a Mei or anything else that's maybe not a hit scan so that you can kind of get this same kind of feel. And then you can translate to Mei and you get well at her projectiles. Then you're playing more of a DPS front. And so then maybe you can switch to like a soldier or a reaper or something like that because you have that middle ground. It's not going from a projectile support to a hit scan DPS. That's going to be incredibly different. So
Right. Maybe
look at characters that are a little more similar to your support and halfway to where you want to go. That way you can take baby steps there. But also another big tip that I have for when you're trying to play another character is don't get discouraged. You are not going to be as good on Reaper the first hour that you've ever played Reaper than you are on Zenyatta that you have 500 hours on. So if your team isn't doing well, I know from personal experience, you're going to want to switch to the hero that you know you can carry on. And you're never going to improve your Reaper pick if you automatically do that. For me, if I'm trying to learn a Zenyatta in quick play or a low elo rank game and our team is doing well, I want to switch to Mercy so badly. And I do 99% of the team because I know that I could probably carry the game a lot more and we might win. But I'm never going to get better at Zenyatta if I do that. So that's a big tip. Fight that urge to do it. If you do and you continue, just be patient. Just grind through like the first 20, 25 hours. And you're going to see yourself improving, and then you're going to feel better about picking that. And at the end of the day, when you've mastered a whole nother character, you're going to love it.
And it's a combination of, you know, for me, I feel like you have to balance that short-term elo loss with that long-term, you know, game competency gain, right? And, you know, trying to find a way to balance those things because, and I'm very competitive. Rosh, I know you are too. Jimmy, I've seen you very competitive. I haven't seen you very competitive in Overwatch, but I've seen you play Heroes, bro, and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, for us, a lot of times winning isn't, if we're not winning, it's not fun and we're not learning things. And so take it from three uber competitive people, it's worth it. Your season elo does not define you. Your season elo does not define you. You're welcome.
Say it once more for the people in the back. Right. Your season elo does not define you.
Can I get an amen from brother Jimmy over here? Yeah. So it's one of those things. And, you know, for me, like I'm going from Zarya over to Soldier right now. And when Rosh and I duo, I'm going to stay on Zarya because I'm playing, you know, with higher ranked people. But on Soldier, I'm doing great at my elo. And so I'm going to play Soldier. Once I go from Soldier, I'm probably going to choose something like a McCree or a Widow. That's super headshot defended, right? So you got Zarya that's just like hit the character. Then you have Soldier who's like hit the character, but try to hit the head. Just try to hit the head to, you know, Widow and McCree, who is like, if you're not hitting the head at least 50% of the time, you shouldn't be playing this hero. And it's kind of like, it's this kind of reverse pyramid, right? Of it goes from kind of more broad to, you know, very, very, you know, refined. And then from there, I don't know what I'm going to do. Quit, I guess. Play Destiny 2 all
become
the time.
Become a support main? No, you're going to become a support main.
You're going to become a Destiny 2 pro?
I'm getting pretty good at that Zenyatta. I really like playing Zenyatta. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, so that's kind of our tips here for finding a hero, learning that hero, mastering that hero, and then finding where to go next. And I want to emphasize something, and I think everybody here would do that. You can be the type of person that just, I feel like playing this, and you have 2 hours on 20 heroes. And, you know, nothing more, but the chances of you being good at that hero are much less. Even if you're like got a bunch of time on a few heroes, you need that dedicated, consistent time if you're a newer player, to do that. You won't just be able to play Soldier one day and then play May the next and then play Lucio the next day and rotate those three and learn nearly as quickly as just like, cool, social or soldier muscle memory over and over and over again. But at the same time, it's still a game. Have fun. Play it how you want. But if you're wanting to kind of min-max that learning curve, you're wanting to kind of get out of those ELOs that, you know, we've all been at the point where it's like, I'm at this ELO, but I feel like I'm better, you know, which is going to go into our email in just a second. That's going to be something to think of. So cool. All right, let's jump into emails. Overwatch emails.
Wow.
I was wondering what it was going to be.
Yeah, we got it. This is a high budget show here. We have sounders
live
for everything.
Sounders.
Yeah, right. So we did get one email this month from, this week, I guess it's kind of month, this week from Vader Nation sends us an email, says, I recently started playing Overwatch again, and which made me start listening to the Payload podcast again because, well, you guys put on a great show. Thank you. Like I said, again, I just started to play again. Last time I played was the beginning of season two. Just have a question or two. I was wondering, I just did my promos and I went 7 out of 10 and got placed in low bronze at like 630-ish. Was wondering if that was normal. Also, if there are any hints or tricks that I, and I'm sure other viewers had about getting out of bronze, in this case, anything faster. If so, please let us know. One last thing in my games. I'm on fire a lot of the games, and I'll send some pictures. Kenny did. But do you guys have a fan Discord or something to assist me? I'm sick of the feeling of being stuck in bronze when I know I'm at very least a good or higher player. Vader sent us some pictures from the Over Sumo app to display, you know, kind of what that app looks like. If you haven't checked it out, Over Sumo is kind of a cool... It basically tries to take stats all across the different kind of ranks and kind of assign you you play at this rank. I'm going to just say this first. It's nice, but it's also probably pretty inflated. I'm a Grandmaster Soldier on both PC and Xbox. And like, don't get me wrong. I think I'm a decent soldier, but I'm not a Grandmaster Soldier. By any
means. And with the app, it's the app because it takes in numbers. It takes numerical values spread across the board of different players. It doesn't get to see your footage. It doesn't get to see the strategies you use. It doesn't get to see all that. So yes, it's a decent indication if you're a bronze player and you're getting master stats. Yes, there's probably something that you can do to at least get closer, but there's probably a percentage that it's off. Probably like a 25% where it's kind of off on where you should be. And I would say if you do have the Over Sumo app and it's saying that you should be in Grandmaster and you're in Silver, don't get discouraged because there's a lot more to this game than just aiming and the numbers that you're putting out. There's so much strategy with your ultimates, combining ultimates, where you want to stand, knowing when the enemy team has ults, all of that that the app just can't calculate. So if you are watching these apps, and for Vader Nation, just kind of take that with a grain of salt and don't get discouraged if you're way lower than you should be. And just kind of try to pay attention to the strategy part as well. Don't just focus on the numbers.
Right. I love that. Another thing that I would add on top of that is a gold. Just because you're a gold Elim Hanzo doesn't mean you're helping win games. At the end of the day, how you grind Elo is not how much damage you do. It's not how many gold medals you get, because that's all relative, right? At the end of the day, you always have whatever, five categories, three medals. So every team gets at least 15 medals.
Yeah.
Whether you do absolutely nothing or you crush and everybody does great. Every team gets 15 medals. And this is kind of the same thing where I learned more about, because when I started playing Zarya, I had a higher energy charge, average energy charge. I had higher damage done. My damage done has actually gone down a little bit because my average energy charge is down. But I win a lot more games. I win a lot more games as Zarya. And that's because I had to learn, sometimes you have to be really judicious with your bubbles and you're in fight mode. And sometimes you're just trying to build up energy. The beginning of the first fight, you're just spamming bubbles on cooldown, trying to get some energy built up. But after that, you're, catching that Roadhog hook, right? And you're doing those things, trying to anticipate that Reinhardt ult, those types of things. And so it gets to be a lot more than just being on fire, just those. It's going, am I positioned in the right way? As a soldier, you might have just put 400 damage into that Roadhog, but that 150 health mercy is just healing him back up kind of thing. So your stats are going to look great, but did you kill who you're supposed to kill?
Yeah.
Did you dive in and kill the right heroes as Winston, or were you just trying to get that gold damage, right? As Hanzo, were you getting picks, or were you just throwing arrows into their tanks and... I have 3 gold medals, guys.
Yeah.
Oh my God. By the way, never be that person. Can we just talk about it for a second? Gold medals are good. And I've even used it before when someone's like, hey, can so-and-so switch? What I'll usually say is just, I feel like I'm contributing really well right now. I've got this much damage in these medals. Do you still want me to switch? Because sometimes they just don't know. Especially at lower elos. Like, oh, no, never mind. I guess you're fine. I just didn't see that. And other times you'd be like, yeah, well, we have a Zarya and a Reinhardt and a Mei. We don't need all 3 of those ultimates right now. We need a game changer, right? So stuff like that. So anyways, there's that there. Second thing I want to say about this. Wins and losses mean nothing for placements for the most part.
Yeah. And 80%. Vader, he did say that he hasn't played since season 2. So you might have missed that. They did switch between season 2 and season 3. They basically did a big swap on the Elo, and placements basically go off of your last season's ending rank. So if you ended at 1500 in season 3, season 4 you could go 10-0 and you can completely destroy, and you're probably going to end up at about 1500. So going 7 out of 10, I know you asked if that was normal. Unfortunately, with how the game is, there are arguments that it should be kind of a reset Elo, that it should kind of factor in your previous season. And that's a whole different conversation. But as it stands now, yes, unfortunately, that's kind of how it is. You could have gone 10-10 and you probably still would have placed in that same spot. So don't freak out. That's not a you thing. That's Blizzard being Blizzard. It is normal, unfortunately.
There was a thing last season, or it might have been the beginning of this season, during placements, where someone's like, it shows all the green check marks and they get placed at like 900.
Yeah.
And then someone goes 0-10 and they get placed at the top of diamond. Yeah.
Yeah. I went, not this season, but last season I went 3-7 or like 1. I think I actually went 1-9. I think I actually went 1-9 and I placed at 3615. So to that question, Vader, just unfortunately in this part of Blizzard, placements seriously don't matter. So don't fret doing your placements until that changes. As for getting out, at that point, my best piece of advice is to find a friend that you know that is, I don't want to say get boosted, but at that point, even if you're a diamond or masters player and you're stuck in that bronze rating, at this point, it's just so hard to climb out of unless you have someone who can hard carry you back to where you deserve to be. So that's my best piece of advice. Find a duo, a hard carry DPS or a hard carry Zarya or a really insane Reinhardt that can just pop off at that Elo. And kind of invite them to, you know, try and recruit them to help you climb out of that. And then when you get a little higher, what was it they placed? You said 630-ish. Probably when you get around 12, 13, 14, maybe 1500, then you could probably start solo queuing. You know, be able to grind the rest of the way out there. But unfortunately, in my opinion, and I know people have differences in believing that a Elo hell exists, but in my opinion, at that point, it's just going to be so hard, even if you're a Masters player, to get out of there. So that's my best piece of advice.
Yeah, I love that. You also asked about like discords and communities to kind of help you learn more. We do have a couple of discords. BlizzBro has a Discord, discord.gg/BlizzBro. We're trying to hang out there more. It's not the most active, but that's like, we also don't talk there a whole lot. I have my own Discord, discord.me/kicktripod, and we talk there a bit, quite a bit, and I'd love for more of that stuff. I know, Rosh, you have your Discord. I don't know if you're actually, what you guys, I think, are you guys just memeing in there?
We were, but then my Discord was actually raided, so it's kind of just like retired at the moment. Someone raided it with like 1,000 bots, so it's kind of just like retired and sitting there for the moment. So I would definitely suggest either John's or the Blues Pro Discord.
And then I do want to give a shout out to Omnic Lab, their podcast. They have a pretty good Discord, discord.me/Omnic Lab. And that they built a community around kind of LFG looking for other players. And so, you know, they've got about 500 people there. The Overwatch University Discord is good too. I don't know it off the top of my head, but if you go to reddit.com/r/OWUniversity, you can go find a link to that Discord there. And that's just a great subreddit for people who, I don't want competitive Overwatch. I don't want play the game /r/Overwatch. I want stuff that's just about getting better for every player. Guides on heroes, other heroes. Skyline is really involved in the Overwatch University subreddit and Discord, and so might be a great place for you to check out as well. Is it just Overwatch University, not OW University?
Yeah, just Overwatch University.
Got it. r/Overwatch University. My apologies. I think they're like Twitter or something is OW University, or their Discord. That's might have been why I got it. Anyways, Jimmy, anything else you want to add to Vader Nation's email?
No, you guys covered up pretty much everything I was going to say. I mean, I think it, as much as you can find a duo partner, even if it's someone at the same ELO, if they're willing to learn and improve, it's just a lot better if you have someone else to play with and run ideas off of.
And I would second that. Getting somebody who's better than you is nice.
It's nice, yeah.
Or at least ranked higher than you.
You don't learn a whole lot, necessarily.
Right. But at the same time, like, just having a duo, you know, if like, a Zarya and a Pharah, or a Pharah and a Mercy,
that's true.
Kind of get together and you're complimenting each other and you're communicating together well. Already having two people willing to communicate. I don't know how much people are willing to communicate in bronze. I don't know if it's just like I'm doing my thing, get out of my way, or
it's either really quiet or super trolly. It's not fun.
Got it. So I would look at doing that too. Play with friends. Yeah. All right. Well,
time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
We got to get out of here. Thank you guys for hanging out with us for episode 65 of The Payload. We really hope that you enjoyed it. By the way, if you are like, hey, I want my email answered on the show, send us an email to thepayload@blizzpro.com. Let's jump into Patreon land. Jimmy, what's going on there?
Yeah, first of all, we want to thank our wonderful MVPs, Shadow, GA8, Coral, Tommy H, and Liam O. Thank you all so much for your support. Greatly appreciated. As John mentioned at the start of the show, patreon.com/payload podcast. We are very close to our $200 merch store. If you'd like to help that make that a reality, you can check out all the details at patreon.com/payload podcast.
patreon.com/payload podcast.
Super close.
$13 away. We're close.
Definitely.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you again for that, Chris and Adam. iTunes reviews. Rosh, what's up?
Yeah, iTunes reviews this week. 5 stars reviews help us a ton on a week-to-week basis. If you'd like to show your support for the show, they're incredibly easy to leave. Thank you this week to Sabo2002789 for having an easy name to pronounce because most of it was numbers.
Hey, that's my social security number.
And also for leaving and also for leaving the 5-star review. If you haven't left one yet, you could do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Yeah. All right. Time for shout outs and where people can find you throughout the week. Jimmy, you're up first.
At DJ Tyrant on Twitter and Twitch. Hoping to get that new partnership
affiliate thing. I'm still waiting for mine.
If you're waiting for yours, I will feel a lot better. I didn't know that you were still waiting for yours.
Yeah, no, I'm still waiting on mine too.
I do know that Leviathan did get his just recently tonight. So,
but he should be getting his partnership.
He should be getting partnered though. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, check me out there. That's where I put up all my content and what I'm doing during the week. Check it out. It's going to be quiet for the next 2 weeks because I'm going to be gone visiting my family. But after that, I'm sure things will start picking up.
Cool. Rosh, what about you?
You caught me right in the middle of y'all.
It's not a surprise. I always go from Jimmy to you.
I know. No, you can find me at Twitter at F2K_OKIt'sRosh. You can also find me at twitch.tv/OKIt'sRosh. I am in the middle of a streaming challenge where I stream for 29 days in a row. I think today is either day 8 or day 9. So I will be over there for a good while every single day, streaming some Overwatch, some Outlast, and some random Steam games. So you can find me there as well.
Awesome. As for me, you can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod, twitch.tv/KickTripod, Twitter, and of course, kicktripod.com. There you can find links to the podcast that we do. You can find links to my Discord, my Twitch, and I actually put some thoughts up there a couple times a month, little blog action. Like, it did a little blog about the Twitch affiliate thing. If you want to come hang out and do that, that's great. I'm streaming a ton right now. And actually, I've got probably one day of school left that, like, if I dedicate one day to just finish up school, I could just be done tomorrow, which I actually might try to do. But after that, I'm going to be streaming a ton more rather than like 4 or 5 hours a day. I'll probably try to up it to like 7, 8. So we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, come hang out with me at twitch.tv/kicktripod. Thanks for tuning in for episode 65 of The Payload. We already told you where to find everything. Big thanks to Jake Butno for our music. We will see you guys next week. Bye.